Lord, we pray that you might be with us today, that we might hear your voice and look forward to your arrival. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, when was the last time you looked up at the night sky? Looking up is what Lent is all about. In the hurly-burly of our life, it's an opportunity for us to gain a little perspective. One of the ways in which we can do this is to see how far we've come with God. If you look up at the night sky, chances are you'll see more than 350,000 stars in the night sky. Of course, there's more out there. We just can't see them without a telescope. One of the stars we can see is called Rho Cassiopeia, which is about 4,000 light years away. Just think about that for a moment. This means that the light we see from this star started its journey when Abram looked up to see God's promise. The spiritual life rarely flies as straight as an arrow. It has twists and turns, cul-de-sacs and diversions galore. But our readings today encourage us not just to see where we are now, but to look back and see how far we've come with God. Our readings encourage us to look up and see just how far God has brought us. So when Abraham looked up at the sky, I wonder, what did he see that night? Did he see constellations and divine beings at play? Did he see his life passing away with only hopelessness and desperation to look forward to? Abraham was 75 years old when he heard God's call to leave the land of his forefathers. He struck out for a new land with the promise that God would make him a great nation, whose name would be a blessing to all the families of earth. So how far had Abram come? Well, days had become years, and years had rolled into decades. But what started with just Abram and his wife and nephew had grown to a group of over 318 men, plus their families and herds. Challenges, of course, had grown along the way. A famine had struck the land, forcing everyone to flee to Egypt. As for being a blessing for others, his neighbors strove to steal everything from him. The Egyptians had tried to take his wife. His nephew wanted the best acreage, while surrounding kings took whatever they could. We often think that faith is a matter of belief, an intellectual process of recognizing God and simply obeying like Abram did. We often assume that faith is about accumulating beliefs as if they were flocks of sheep to be gathered. But perhaps a better way of thinking about faith is to see it as something anchored in God's character, something which enables us to act with courage and confidence and compassion. So I wonder, if Abram ever looked up at the night sky and thought, "Tick-tock, God, what will you give me? For I am still childless," he said. "Will Eliezer inherit everything?" Abraham perhaps saw his life ebbing away. They had come so far. But Abraham was still filled with skepticism and doubt. God's promise of descendants, a land and all the blessings that would come, was so big and so grand, but what had been delivered seemed so small in Abram's eyes. Maybe it was in the middle of one of these midnight meltdowns that Abraham had his vision. And what did the Lord say to Abram in this vision? Was God critical of his faith and how worthless he was? No. The Lord spoke kindly and gently. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. I am your great reward. Having doubt and worry didn't mean that Abram was losing his faith. On the contrary, his faith was being stretched. He needed to go further. The promise of prosperity, which had sustained him for years, had run its course, as it usually does. God did not promise to slay or to destroy Abram's enemies. That would be to act like a sword. God rather promises to protect and guard Abraham through whatever encounters happen along the way. But God doesn't stop there. Our English translations give the next promise a little polite sheen as God reaffirms his commitment in a very specific way. You will have more heirs, God said, from your loins and from nobody else. What's more, these descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky. God encouraged Abram to look up, to see and to wonder at all that was yet to come. God had brought Abram so far, but the journey was not over, not by a long shot. What had started would not be stopped. What had begun would continue. For what seems small and fragile now would become vast without end in the future. God encouraged Abram to look beyond the confines of his worry, not just to see the wonder of creation, but the depth of God's character. So Abram asked God, "How can I know? How will I have this land as my own?" Put it another way, what sign will there be for its delivery? Would there be some comet in the sky or maybe some force of nature that would herald God's action? God offers something completely unexpected. Abram is told to gather a bunch of animals, each in their prime, and to cut them in half. This action resembles, quite often, ancient practices for making binding agreements or treaties. Ordinarily, we would expect Abram to be the one who would make the promise to God about his loyalty and obedience, with the slaughter of everything as a visceral reminder of what would happen to those who are disloyal to the promises they make. But this is God's covenant with Abram, not Abram's covenant with God. God is the one who passes between these animals, not Abram, at sunset, no less. Appearing as a flame that burns without being consumed, God makes a solemn promise that from death comes new life. At sunset, one bright star first appears, and then another before everything is then filled with wonder. God makes a promise based upon his own character that Abram would have the land and that those who would seek to do him harm would be dealt with. And the result? Abram had faith. He believed God. Abram didn't merely believe in God. Nor did Abram have a stack of facts in his mind about God. Abram's faith was grounded in God's character and presence. A sky full of stars would happen, but it would begin with one person. It wasn't a matter of Abram's own strength or commitment or obedience. Abram could keep going because God would be faithful to the end. In our psalm, we meet or hear from one of those descendants centuries later. Like Abram, King David found himself in very difficult situations, surrounded by enemies with no way out. Like Abram, David too felt weak and fearful. But it was God's character that gave David courage. David could see how far he had come from being a shepherd boy to a king. And in all the turmoil of courtly life, surrounded by hostile competitors and a very difficult family, David could find a safe space, a quiet space, in God's presence. Within the sanctuary, he could find a place of refuge where God's sweetness and protection could be known. The darkness might swirl around David. Fear and worry often lurked outside, but hope would grow within David as he sought God's face. Faith for David was not simply about knowing facts about God. What he wanted to know was God's heart and soul. So David sought to know God's character. And in effect, it strengthened his life. It bolstered his courage. It enabled him to say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Faith is always anchored in God's character. It takes us on a journey. It helps us to develop courage. Fast forward 2,000 years and we meet Paul, another descendant of Abram, who is writing to a group of Gentile believers, descendants born not of blood, but of faith. Paul urges the Philippians to imitate him and to follow his example. Faith is not destroyed by doubt. Nor is it overwhelmed by fear. These things encourage us to stretch and to grow. No, the only thing that undermines faith is giving up, by losing heart, by turning our backs on God's character. Faith evaporates when we finish before we reach the end. And when faith is gone, what remains? Through tears, Paul says and speaks of people who only heed their body's needs. They live in the present with no regard of what's to come. For Paul, faith is about confidence, not to criticize others, but to look up and to see ourselves as citizens of heaven and all that is yet to come. We find our confidence in Christ as our Saviour, who brings glory from shame and makes all things subject to himself. It's not only courage and confidence that God's character stirs within us. Compassion is stirred also. 2,000 years after Abram and the Israelite people are scattered all over the land that was promised, with a line of cruel impostors holding the throne. Although the descendants were many, many wondered about the promise of land and blessing, which seemed so elusive. Was this promise given to Abram just worthless? On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus would not be dissuaded by a warning that Herod was planning to kill him. The situation sounded hopeless. Giving up and running away seemed perfectly sensible. But Jesus knew that God's promise would take him right into the belly of the beast. Would Jesus' death be the end of Abram's promise? You might say that being strung up on the cross is not unlike a whole bunch of animals being cut in half. Both are gruesome ways to end. So often when we feel threatened, we lash out wanting to destroy those who stand in our way. But Jesus' confidence in God's character took him in a different direction. Jesus expressed compassion towards Jerusalem and all that it represented and everyone that it contained. While a fox preys upon defenseless hens, Jesus wished to defend the city. He knew who was in it, and his compassion was undiminished. He loved it all the more. The life of faith is never measured by our knowledge, our confidence, our courage, but it is always measured by the depth of God's character. When we are alone, it's so easy to feel overcome by circumstances that are beyond our control. It's easy for us to give up and stay focused only upon the trouble that stands before us. When that happens, dear friends, be like Abram, look up, for no matter how dark the night, one bright star can always be seen. Jesus put his body on the line to fulfill this promise to Abram. While we might run out of hope and fall into despair, God's passion reaches deeper to hold on to us. So this Lent, don't just put aside sugar and ice cream for a few weeks, but see how far you've come. See how far God has brought you. Christ has come, and through him, the whole sky is now filled with faith. For whatever happens tomorrow, there is one thing that is certain. Christ is with you. God searches for your face. God wants to bring you into his presence, to delight with you, now and forevermore. Amen.